Santa Juana Ova, beginning a visit with Coleman with Debbie this Saturday, the 20th of October, 73. Santa Juana Ova, beginning the visit with Coleman with Debbie this Saturday, the 20th of October, 73. Channel 1 over, and the beginning of the visit with Coleman, with Debbie, this Saturday, the 20th of October, 73.
This be all right.
How big a hole we're gonna need for this?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't hardly say right now. You just see how the pile of potatoes gonna look. Might be something about the size of this table would be all right.
Cool. How deep you want it?
That's going to be kind of hard to get down in the ground very much in that clay bone.
Yes.
I said this large, and of course. Now, you can't tell how the potatoes going to turn out yet. You can get them out of the ground, but
yeah.
Still, you've got to have them in the ground where you can put hay or straw on top of them.
Yeah.
See, that's to help protect them, keep them warm in there.
Yeah.
Then you put that tin on top of that.
Yeah.
That keeps the water and the cool air out of it. Now, you see, I can get that tin on there. If it's going to be cold weather, you just take some dirt and put it all around the edge. That keeps the wind out there, free from freezing in there, you know.
Yeah.
That's where you want to work there. But I don't know, I couldn't tell, you know, just to, you know, to get the potato out of the ground and how big a pile it has is going to go in that way. But it ought to be. Deep as this table is high, anyway, I believe it ought to be.
And how's that?
That'd be about a little better than 2 feet, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty high. It's almost three, Coleman.
Close to three, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And about this big, about this long.
Yes.
And you don't put potatoes on potatoes. You've got to have a layer of straw.
Lay at the bottom.
Just the bottom?
Yeah.
You don't have to have it all the way up.
I don't put it on mine. Put it at the bottom, and then after you get the pair in there and level them off, you put it on top of it. So it's on top of the pair. Level it off, then you put your tin on top of that. You want to have it, now you can, if you can, something like a 2x4, and put around the edge, any kind of thing like that, put around the edges, for that tin to lie on, and be sure to stop your edges up where wind can get in under there, like if you get the potato out there, fix that back where the wind won't, if it'll come a freeze while the wind will go, would not go in there and freeze the potato.
Potato won't take too much cold, will it?
Not too much. No, it easily get frostbitten.
Yeah.
Now you can have some in a house. It look like it might be. I've seen that. Well, it wouldn't be as good a house as this house, but look like it'd be good enough to keep potato from freezing there. And I remember once my brother had some, and he put them in the barn and covered them all good, and every one of them ruined. He had to throw them all away.
Good.
The last one of them ruined. What do you can't eat one of them, you get frostbitten like
that.
Oh,
man. No. You take an old potato that's got a little dry rot or something like that on it.
It's not fit to eat.
It
ain't fit. No. Well, it's the same way when you get them little potato weevil in it. I don't know where you ever got older one with it.
No.
But you can't eat it. Sometime when it just start on one, you can cut that out and probably might need. But if he goes in that little piece, that whole potato is bitter. Yeah, he's not 50.
And he just bores through that.
Yes, sir.
He?
Just a little old weevil. These brown corn weevils is a little bigger than them, but he's shaped up just about like what be on corn. The kind of weevil. There's two kind of weevils be in corn. One's a brown and the other's a black weevil. But he just about look color that brown looking be on corn. And he bores over the hole. You can tell what when he ended one. When you cut that potato open, there's a black streak where he goes through there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fit to eat. I've seen people try to cut it out, and then you could taste it. And cut all what you see out there.
Coleman, now, how did you start growing potatoes? Your daddy grow them?
Yes, sir. He's been growing them all. I've been fooling with that, something like that, all my life. Yeah, he used to grow them when I was a little kid,
So you just brought up raising.
Yeah, but he didn't put them up like I put them up. He put them up a different way. The way he put them up was kind of like a steeple.
Yeah.
Kind of steeple like be on church bell, up on a tower.
Yeah.
He put them up in something like that. He takes bolts and sticks and. Like this end be on the ground, this would be the top of the pile, and they'll come together just like that, kind of.
Right.
Then he put a saw on in that place he'd dig out down there. Then he put the potato in. He'd come up, shave up just like that, a steeple like that. Then he'll put straw on top of it and put some bold and thing, and put pine bark, but you can't get that now if you want, on the top of it. That's what protects it for the water. Then cover it all over, all around with dirt.
With dirt.
And put a big piece of pine bark right over the top of it and put dirt on that. That's to keep the water from going down in it. That's the way they had to keep the water out of back
then.
He
didn't have to have tin.
No, sir. Well, in fact, he didn't know about putting them that way. No, sir. He didn't have to have tin. But he had to have pine bark, though. But you can't get the pine bark. He got to come over with a log, and you ain't got no big logs now to get it over.
John Brown.
Yes, that's
that, that's all you need, just that pine bark.
That's all you can get
and
pine bark.
Then you cover it up with a little dirt and hold it in place.
Yes, but you can't get the pine bark now. If you ain't got a log big enough, or a few, big enough to get bark off.
That's right. You'd have to have a really big one,
yes,
wouldn't you?
Yes, big
like
tree,
this.
Yes.
Why?
Yeah, get bark enough for the covers, really.
I don't know where you a fella would go to get pine bark. Yes,
well,
just
some you wouldn't find none now. Now Franklin got some trees over there in his pasture, big enough to get bark off. But there's green trees, you know. And you couldn't find a dead tree big enough now. There's going to be nothing but saplings now.
I got a dead tree out here.
It got bark on it?
Yeah, the lightning hit it.
Yes. Pine bark, you can cover that. But still, that tin is the easy way out now.
It's easy for you.
Then it's good protection. If you got tin, you know how you can put it on there and that'll keep the water out.
Yeah.
And you can fix it so it'll keep the cold air out, and that's all you need.
Yeah. Well, I never thought of that, Debbie.
I neither. I guess I thought everybody always used tin.
Yeah. Well, they've had tin all down the line, but they just didn't use it.
No, they didn't use it.
Did you have a tin roof on your house? You had shingles.
Yes, the shingles was first.
Yeah.
Yes. Shingles was first.
Well, let me tell you, Coleman. When you had tin roof, when you had shingles on your house, them people that put tin on, they was doing a little extra, wasn't they?
Yes. That's when the tin come around, that was a new thing. But you know, that old way, it was just a shingle.
Well, how do you know?
lots of people, I guess, had never seen a house. So, you know, these people not very old, you know, ain't been here a long time. One like me, you know, he done seen some of these things.
Our house was shingled, and I know it'd catch on fire around the flue.
Yes. If you don't fix it good around there, well, you know, people... lots of houses. That's a, you know, sometimes that flue would get a ring, a leak in there where it sparks. That's where my dad's house got burned up the time I was telling you about.
Yeah.
Got burned out that where I live at.
Yeah.
His caught some kitchen flue.
Yeah.
But when they found it, see, he was sealed overhead just like this house. So he caught up there. When they find out that, you know, that fire is so big up there,
so big they couldn't do anything with it.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I remember the last time my house caught on fire. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, sir.
Now, I forget who saw it, but it was just blazing around one of the flues.
That's right.
Just a little blaze there. Well, I was at the house. And I got up there with a bucket of water and put it out.
Yes, sir.
And they had called the fire department.
Yes, sir.
And the fire department was put out with me for getting up there and
putting it out. Well, you was looking out for yourself.
I didn't want all that water in the house.
That's right, sir. Yes, sir. He wanted to put it out there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't blame him. I'd put it out myself because, sometimes you might let the fire stay there too long where they can't do nothing with it. When they do put it out, everything be ruined on the inside.
You see what happens to them shingles? You see, they stay up there a while, and the sun just parches them.
Yes, sir. Get dry. Sir.
They get so dry, you know, you could set them with a match.
Yes, sir. That's right. Sir.
And we didn't have that, all them lotions and things you could put on them then.
No, sir.
We could have put a lot of tar on them or something like that, you see.
That's right.
Now, this old roof I've got up here, you see, the sun baked that until it was just crumbling.
Yes, sir.
And I put some of them that old asphalt on it.
Yes, sir.
And it's still holding.
Yes, sir.
It's been 5 years, and it's still holding.
Still holding, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
sir. You know, those damn roofs, they cost you.
I know it is.
Now, it don't cost you much if you buy the shingles and put them on yourself.
No, sir.
But if you've got to hire somebody
to put them on, that's right. That's what it'll cost so much, eh?
That'll cost you, and it'll give you the colic to boot.
I guess so.
Because they won't ever come and do it. They'll take the shingles off and leave them.
Yes, sir.
First time it rains, it'll flood you.
That's right, sir.
Unless you get up there and put something over it.
And then they'll leave them sitting out in the yard, and anybody wants to can drive by and pick up all the new shingles.
That's right.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, sir, but it's quite a different now, though, it was in them back time. Where people, it's different everywhere, where people live, where they eat and everything else. Of course, people don't hardly eat now like they used to back in them times.
Well, for one thing, they've cut down on how much they eat. They don't eat as much.
I noticed, I've seen a lot of people use these late years with raising a bunch of children. And, you know, like they try to give them everything, what they want, you know, to eat, you know, where they, sometimes they eat, say they want somebody to eat, somebody to leave the other in the plate, you know, throw it away. That just was dog or cat food then. And but back in them times when I come along, what they put on your plate, they mean for you to eat that.
Yeah.
if you didn't want it, why tell them in time, you know, so you wouldn't have to throw that away.
Well, I bet you your daddy, if he could see now how little you eat and get along on.
Yes, sir.
Why he just couldn't put up with it. He'd say, well, it ain't worth that sort of living ain't worthwhile.
No. Well, I used to, when I was under him, I'd eat a. I'd eat a whole lot more than what I eat now, though. I don't know why was it, but I did. Now, he was a small eater, my dad.
Oh, was he?
Yes. He never did eat much. Never did. I could eat most any time just twice as much as he eat. But he was a small eater. But he wasn't a large man.
I didn't think there was any small eaters then.
Yeah, he was. Yes.
But one of the biggest eaters I ever saw was a small fella.
Well, I had a cousin. He was about as big a eater as I was seeing. I thought I could eat a whole lot, but I was nothing to him. And he was just a small size fella. I tell you what, when he used to help me wake some time, and I said I was going to try him that time. And I, just before my wife got dinner ready, I cut a big watermelon and turned him loose in that and tried to give him all he wanted to eat. And by the time she got through with the watermelon, why, she called for dinner. I came right on, it looked like it took more for him that day than ever. <That's>, it didn't do a bit of good. I told her after that, I said, no use to try him that way because you ain't don't help a bit. We thought, you know, he wouldn't eat as much. But look, it took more for him that day than it ever did. But hey, just had got to eat the watermelon.
You just got him started with that watermelon.
That's what
it was.
I said, His name was Roy Jones. That was my cousin. He's my first cousin. And he used to help me wake some.
Yeah.
And he, after he got watermelon, that's my time. I done told him what to do. You know, I'm going to try him that day, see how. And just by the time I got through with the watermelon, well, she called us to dinner. I thought then he wouldn't eat much. But he was worse than any of it. Like, it doesn't harm by giving the watermelon.
Well, you know, people, as I remember, you see, if you just sat back and just sort of picked at your food, like they say,
yeah,
people didn't appreciate that. They didn't think you liked their food.
That's right.
No, I never heard anybody complain, you know. No. They just shove it to you.
Sure, yes, sir.
Expected you to eat.
Yes, sir. But he was a big eater. I mean, he was a big eater. Look like me, he could eat too. I never seen nobody could eat. But I thought I was a big eater, you know. But I didn't have a bit of time with him.
Yeah. Well, you always had more than one kind of meat on the table.
Oh yes, I had. Well, I know, but I had plenty of that. I used to raise the meat, you know, a hog meat, and I had a plenty of that for. Like bacon, you know, I had it killed, you know, and
yeah.
Cook it most anyway, boiled or fried either way. But like back in them times, I didn't have to, you know, eat and live like I live now because meat's so high now.
You'd have a plate of sausage out there and you could dip into the sausage.
Oh, yes.
And then you'd have some roast over there.
Yeah.
And you'd figure, well, you needed a little slice of that stuff.
Yeah.
And a little slice then was pretty thick.
Oh, yeah. You didn't have to cut it so thin like Now, you know, slice of meat, if you don't be careful frying it, you can't find it after you cook it.
Yeah.
We don't, in fact, I told my wife, the doctor said for us, for myself and her, you want not to eat too much grease.
Yeah.
And pork and thing, I told her it was a good thing he put us off on it, because we
couldn't
get it. He wouldn't be able to get it, buy it, and so it's a good thing he changed it all.
That pork seems to be the richest, ain't it?
Yes, sir. Run your blood up high.
You know, Miss Bessie, she never did get so she could do without that pork.
Eat it right on.
Yes,
well, I noticed lots of people, one fellow, I don't know whether you know, the Bully Sanders and his brother, Sherman. Sherman would come to that store and he'd be complaining with the high blood all the time, and buy pork chop and eat it, and it is against him. Well, some people say it don't hurt, but you know, I don't know. I kind of think though he ain't near old as I is. Him bullying either one, and see, both of them been going a long time, and I'm still here yet. I don't know how much longer, but I'm here yet.
Well, you see, they had to have them pork chops, and they had to have the sausage.
That's right. Buy the little, get it. Come to that store and buy it, you know. And it was against them all the time. Well, you know, it don't seem a person be using good judgment if he knows something hurt him, and go and eat that same thing, and he know it's gonna hurt him. He don't like he would eat it.
Coleman, they can't have it. It just tastes too good.
Well, I don't know. I believe I could. Cause now, I like beef, stewed beef. Now, the way I like my stewed beef, I like it just a fatty, you can get it. It never be too fat for me. Stewed beef.
Yeah.
And I whenever I eat somewhere now, if I eat somewhere, I got to eat mighty little. If I don't, I can tell the difference in my feeling just so left I eat.
Yeah.
Yes. And I don't believe it's good for me. And so I don't bother with it too much because I don't believe it's good.
Well, it's that pork, you see.
Yes.
And you see that sausage. It don't taste good unless it's got a lot of fat in it.
No, they don't. That's right. And seasoned pie. If sausage is not seasoned right, it's no good no how.
No.
I just don't want it if it's not seasoned. Like, you know, last time you go to the store and you buy it summer market or wherever we get it from, and it don't be fixed up just exactly right, it don't taste good to me. I don't like it.
And you know what you can do, you see, they'll pass the sausage and you'll take a piece or maybe two pieces and all like that, and you finish that, and of course, to be polite, they'll pass it again.
That's right.
And you figure, you've had enough.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You figure, well, just looks pretty good, I'll take another.
Yeah, that's right.
And you see how it goes.
Yes, sir. And you just get too much of it. Well, I don't believe it's good for you, you know, especially by subject to high blood pressure.
Yeah. Well, we all are.
It looked like to me they got this place now. Most of the people.
It looks like high blood pressure and sugar.
Yes, sir. Sugar. That's right. Sugar.
Both of them.
Yes, sir. And it's your arthritis. You know, people have this here. That's what. But I guess it's the same rheumatism like we used to have, but. They call it arthritis in the United States.
Yeah.
That's what it bothers too. And I guess when you go to the doctor now, he knows exactly what to do. He work on for them two or three things.
That old Sam Turner house over there, did it have shingles on it?
Yes, I think, I don't know whether that last one had shingles. I think it's shingles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would put it far back, because they've been gone from there a long time.
The Turner, yes. I don't know how many years they've been left there. I don't know when they left there, too, but I don't know.
World War II?
I believe it's since they moved from there, and they moved from there, Making Nova, his daughter lives in Making Nova now.
Yeah. Well, he moved away from that around the wartime.
I guess so, yes, sir.
Maybe a little later?
Yes, sir. I think it might have been a little later. Sometimes, you know, I know What year was that?
Well, that'd be around 45.
45. I believe that. That's pretty close to the time he left, Mother.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Cause I,
he's
I,
older than you.
Yes, sir. He long come my dad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, I didn't realize that.
No. He come long time my dad.
Well, his boy Curtis, was he about your age?
Yeah, he's 9 years younger than I am.
Oh,
that much
younger. Well, yeah. That's still not much.
No, sir. I know his daughter and Mason Noble, she ain't not as old as I am, but she was between my, I don't know how much older she was than Curtis, but he just had two children, girl and a boy. The girl is older than the boy. He was exactly 9 years younger than I was.
Yeah. Well, now that puts it in a different light, that
yes.
time when you was over there, Coleman.
Yes, sir.
That Christmas.
Him and his son couldn't never get along no how together.
Him, he couldn't get along with his boy.
They didn't get along with his boy.
Well, the boy's sort of wild.
Yes. Boy used to whip him. Tell me, I never did see him do it, but he used to whip him. And I heard a fellow used to work for him. He said the boy would get at him sometimes. The old man would run and we'd get away from the boy, it'd be a big bunch of briars, you know. And the old man would get over in that briar patch and that briar protect the boy from coming in there and getting him. That was what they told me, because I'd never see all that. But I was there one morning, and the boy had a rifle after him. But I thought he had the gun loaded, but his mother said he didn't. And the old man would draw up to her. I mean, he threw up the gun like that. And the old man would draw up in his shoulder like he's feeling for the bullet. But his mother said he didn't have nothing in the gun but no. I don't know where he did it now, because I never, you know, I told him, don't do that, and so that's why he was carrying some cows off. Moving some cows from his house, I think, but he was carrying them cows there. Over here, about the coma was. I think it was. He was selling off a bunch of cows. That's kind of early in the fall. Well, I guess it's you know, about this time of year, I think it might have been a little bit later. He's getting some of them off the range, you know. Cows, back in them times, they had this open range, run out everywhere they want to go, you know. And he was getting some, he had the range pretty well stocked, you know. He's getting some of them off the range, make it better for the other old poor cows to leave at the house. Mm-hmm. And so that's when he wanted this boy, the heavens boy, he wanted to go off on a spree. And That's what, because I was there when it started, and that's what it started about. And the boy running the house, customer running the house, got the gun. I didn't know he had the gun loaded or not, but his mother come out and say he didn't have the loaded, that she had the cartridges. You know.
Well, what was you doing there?
I was helping with the cow.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And he wanted his boy to help him too.
Yeah. He had another boy work. Another colored boy working for him, and he was going to help him. He wants his boy to help too. You know.
How old was Curtis then?
He's a grown man.
20?
He's grown, older than that.
25?
I guess so. Maybe 30.
Oh.
He's 35.
And still putting misbehaving like that.
Yeah. Oh, he never. He got worse after he got older. But of course, he ruined that boy in the beginning. That's a. He ruined him in the beginning, and he started him off wrong. He started him off for to be a bad man, you know. But he did turn
like him.
Yeah.
Like him.
Yeah. He started him off for to be a bad man, because he was, I'm bragging about how this boy going to do when he get to be that. He was a kid then, and he's talking about what he's going to do when he get to be a man, you know. Well, he done it, but he put it all on him.
Yeah, he
most
did.
Of it.
Got on the wrong fella.
Yes, got on
the
wrong fella.
Well,
yeah, well, that's what happened to him. He started him off that way. He ruined him his own self. He can't blame nobody but himself, but he's the one who got the worst end of it.
Yeah.
Then this this cutter, so you know, he'd go around and he'd raise a lot of family, other people around. But he knows that if he gets in jail, his dad's going to pay him out. He just knows that.
Yeah.
And that's what he did do.
Yeah.
He'd do these things, get in jail, and daddy would go and get him.
Yeah.
Probably had to let him suffer for it one or two times in his younger days when he first started that.
Yeah.
It might have been him better, you know, because he probably would have changed up some, but he just spoiled him his own self, you know. But afterwards, he got the worst end of it.
But the boy actually got in jail.
He'd get in jail, or he'd raise a lot of sand, because I never have any trouble with the boy. Not a bit in the world. And he thought hard of me one time, and I tell you that boy. The old man told me one time, the same day when I was over helping them, because that's the same day he told me. Boy, he tear up his daddy's cars back in them times. We all had a T model, you know.
Yeah.
And back in them times, and it had him tore up his daddy's car. And so sometimes he'd come get me, he came off somewhere when he wanted to go up get the whiskey, and I'd carry it.
In your T?
Yeah, in mine. I'd carry me, and he'd go and get it and come back. And the old man said it raised a lot of sand. I told him I didn't know that. He said, yeah, and I wish you wouldn't care no more. Well, the next time the boy comes me to care, I didn't care him. That's the only time he thought hard of me. He didn't say nothing to him, but you know, his ways of action showed that he didn't like it so much.
But you told him what happened.
Well, he knows what happened. He knew the reason.
He knew the old man had spoken to him.
Yes, he knew it. You know,
what he knew of the old man spoken to, you couldn't afford to take him.
No, sir. Well, that's what he said. I ought to take him anyway, you know. But, you know, I didn't want to carry him off nowhere, and him, he'd go off and get drunk and come back and raise the sand with his dad. I didn't want to carry him. I didn't want to be blamed for it. I told the old man when he told me. I said, I didn't know that was happening between you. You like that. Come back and they have a fuss, you know. I didn't know that.
Well, I was done. He start drinking and then give his daddy a hard time.
Give his daddy a hard time. And well, he'd get on these drunks, and he'd stay on them, you know, for about 3 weeks. You know, I guess you have seen people that way.
Yeah.
He quit eating.
Yeah.
I guess they're living on whiskey.
Yeah,
know.
I've seen them.
Yeah. And about 3 weeks. Look like after that, then he'll get off it and going back. He's smart to work when he wasn't, and going back to work. And after a while, maybe a few months, he'd get on another one, you know.
Yeah.
He's saying, sometimes tear up his car. He had a car itself. And then tear up his daddy's car. His daddy didn't have no way to get it out. I have carried his daddy to Gainesville and around different places. I got him many times, you know, because he didn't have no. Well, he had horses, you know, but that's 2 foot ride his horse. So I kid him like that. But.
Gee whiz. But you were practically in the family, weren't you?
I'll tell you what, we had that, me and him had that falling out. After he got where I would deal with him again, he won't fall out of me no more. And, so me and him, we got along all right then, and me and the boy never did have no problem.
Well,
never
how
did.
Long did you and old man Sam have that falling out? It lasted a good while, didn't it?
I don't know, about, I think, 15 or 20 years.
Good Lord. Good Lord.
Well, I didn't want to fall out, but if I had to fall out, you know, if you got to get out, let's stay out. But it's a long time. I don't know.
You tried to patch it up, though, you said.
No.
Huh?
No, I didn't try to patch that up.
Well, you said you at that crossroads over there, you'd wait for him.
Oh, I wanted to make things worse.
Oh, did you?
that's what I was waiting on. he set the fire, and I wanted to help put wood on the fire and make a good fire out of it.
Coleman, you was a peppery fella when you was growing, when you was young.
No, I wasn't so peppery. I tell you, I ain't never been, you know, I ain't never been the kind of fella you would try to take advantage of the rest of my life. I ain't never been, but I wasn't scary. I ain't never been the kind you would take advantage of.
You wasn't scary.
No, I wasn't.
But you still gonna put wood on the fire.
I ain't build a fire. He wanted to make a fire, and I would have helped him to make it. That's what got started.
And that was Christmas.
That was on Christmas time.
Of all times, yeah. And both of you was just celebrating Christmas.
Christmas, both of us. He was celebrating, and I was too. But he was, I tell you about him, though, he was kind of overbalanced fella. You know, you've seen people, when they get a drink of whiskey or something, or wine or something, or in them, you know, you can't tell them nothing.
No.
Well, that's the kind of fella he was. I've seen him go to Gainesville and cuss a lot of them fellas. He'd be talking to the white people then when he'd be cussing. And he'd cuss them, but they just kind of grin it off, you know.
Yeah.
I know they didn't like it, but still, they didn't say nothing. No, he had some money, you know, and I guess he had more than the money than they had, but then, you know, that don't spell nothing. You treat a man wrong.
Is that right?
I see him cussing many of them. He believed in cussing for something he think kind of digging, you know, something what you think he wouldn't like.
Yeah. Oh, he tried to dig them.
Yes. Oh, he cussed him. And one of them said, one of the old man said, at Rochelle, you know.
Tiger.
Yes, old man John said, they got into it, but old man said, I whipped him, dude. But he's done with umbrella or parasol, beat him with that. And he carried his brother-in-law with him. That's his wife's brother, was around him. His name is George Randall. They was raised over here about Mount Brook over here. And he had him with him that day. And so one of the other younger veterans, his name is Archie veterans, he got on the Randall, and the old man got on old man Turner. This fellow blooded that Randall fellow. He put it on him, it was bold. You know, that used to be a rough little place around Rochelle way back. You know where Rochelle is?
Yeah.
It used to be a little old. Well, I guess it's about as good as making up is now, because it might not have been quite as many people then, but it used to be a couple of stores there, and that's about all it got in making up.
Yeah.
But it used to be a rough place. They used to believe in fighting around there.
Yeah. Well, now, what Zetra was that, John?
Oh, my John said, that's these Zetra was here.
Well, now, would he be... Was he the one that called himself a wildcat?
No, that's his nephew.
Bruce.
Jones that I was, Bruce that I was.
Bruce is younger than
Mr.
Turner.
I don't.
John.
It's a little bit young, but not too much.
John was more Turner's age.
Might be a little older.
Yeah.
Yes, Bruce said that was John said I was nephew.
Yeah, but he was peppery too.
Who?
John.
Federer?
John.
All of them said I was there.
Oh, all of them.
That's all of them. All them. They call it be a peppery. I reckon these Chris, young cute crew not like them. I don't think, but these were still here. They can't do. Back on the other side of making them.
Yeah.
You know them, though.
Yes, they're peppery.
Said he is peppery?
Oh, one of them is really peppery.
Well, they can. They all can.
Andrew.
Yes.
Andrew.
Yes. Well, which one is that the one staying at New House? Or the house? You know, one staying, ain't been not so long ago, built a house a few years ago.
That's Andrew.
Yeah, well. They can. They he cousins them at Russia.
But he's a wildcat.
Well, the whole business of him, I guess.
You know.
The generation of him, I think, is wildcat.
You know,
wildcat what?
You know, his mama remarried.
Who that? This was Andrew's.
Andrew's mama.
He did.
Don't you know?
Yes. Her first husband, died. Did their daddy die?
Yeah.
I knew he was.
You know who he was.
Yes, I knew he was.
Don't you know his mama got a lot of money from this interstate?
Yes.
Oh, she got $50,000 or $100,000 out of that.
Yes.
Well, that's a lot of money.
Yes, it is.
Well, I didn't think she'd ever do it, but she did. She remarried.
Yes.
She married this fellow they call Whitey.
Yes.
I don't know it.
No.
Well, Andrew sort of took it hard.
Yes.
But he didn't get used to it. It sort of built up in him.
Yeah.
And I remember one story to tell is that he got after his mama for marrying that fella.
Yeah.
And he went out to the cemetery and got his daddy's tombstone and brought it back and put it right there by her bedroom window where she could see it.
Did? Yeah. What has done that for the next one's gonna be hers, eh? that's the way I was taking that. That's the next tombstone will be built
yeah.
be hers.
Yeah. Or else that new husband of hers.
One or the other.
One or the other.
Yes. Well, I do say. I think he ought to take that into consideration on me. Well, I found myself packing up then.
Me too.
Yes, sir. It's time to pack up then. Yes, sir. But I done got it brought it there for to be sure that he'll see there.
Well, he went out to the cemetery and got his daddy's tombstone.
Yes. Well, I do say
and put it right outside his mama's bedroom window.
Yeah. But you can see it good.
But you can see it good.
Well, I do say I mean it.
Now, does that sound like them Ventrars?
Yeah, that sounds like them. And you know, we had some, I don't know what it is, that is the uncle of the thing, the sisters. They all is kinfolks. You know, there's another people who said bearcat kittens, you know.
Bearcat,
yeah. Yes, sir, because they had one of the sisters' brothers over here. It's the same, don't you know, he lived across from the mountain yet and making nobody with Henry Feaster. He's one of them pieces. He used to be kind of rough too, and he stayed around. You know, he was a boy. He's older than I was, but I know him to get in lots of things down there. And he had an uncle stayed up that road. He died up there. His name was Andrew Feaster. I reckon that's who this boy was named after.
Maybe so.
He was one of them. He was a rough one. The whole business of them, though, I tell you the truth, he wasn't. The fellow said he wasn't too tamed, and none of them wasn't. Yes, sir. That was the piece of it all. They all kin and mixed up somehow.
Yeah, mixed up. Well, that's a shame, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And they all gone, and they ain't here to tell it.
No, sir. Ain't nobody here to tell it.
Bruce?
Yes, sir. He's a tiger. He's in his young days, you know. But, you know, if he got old, you know, I guess, you know, he had to change that, you know. But still, in his young days. And look how he thought everybody was scared of him.
And he put the word out.
Yes, sir. Yes. Told me so. It wasn't none of his little colored woman place. She's a nurse. Well, I think she used to nurse some of his sisters and brothers. Anyhow, something she used to nurse do for his mother, you know. And he wanted to dip into that because it wasn't none of his business and nothing he had to do with. But he just wanted to mess into it anyway. There's orange trees out on the place. I had the place rented. And he said she said for him to have the orange. I told him he's welcome to them. I didn't want them. But I had some two, three trees around where I lived, and that's all the oranges I wanted to eat, and I wasn't making no living off no oranges, no way. And he said, don't let nobody bother them. I told him I couldn't keep people from bothering them because it's over there, and I didn't live there, and they'd go there and get them, and I couldn't keep them. He said, all you got to do is tell them it belongs to me. So you talk kind of funny. You tell me it's lost to me. That's all you got to do. I said, well, then if I see them, anybody bothering them, I tell them they belong to you. He said, you tell them it belongs to me, they ain't going to bother them.
How about that?
That's what he told me. He said, they won't, they won't.
Well,
him and his same brother. That brother, what he got into it at Ed Rooster, he living yet. Him and myself, I heard him tell his age, we all was helping with Tunnel with cows, and I heard him tell his age. I never, yeah. never will forget that, because me and him was the same year, our birthday. But I must be the oldest, because he can't be older than I am, because my birthday come on the 4th day of January, and that's the first part of the month, first month and the first part of it. And if he any older than that, he can't be but 1 or 2 days, nohow. And so, because that's my birthday on the 4th of January. And he said he was 49 years old that year, and I was 49. Same year. I never will forget that. And he's living yet. Him and this Bruce got into it. And let me see how they say that thing was now. Was it here? They got into it. I don't know what they got it started about. But anyhow, his brother shot him. He shot him in the end, and I think they shot him up in the neck. And the bullet went down and went through one side of the lung, somehow like that. And after he shot him, what he shot him, they got into it, and my Bruce went to whip him with the cow whip, that's what it was. And after he shot him, my Bruce cussed him and told me, you shot me now I'm gonna beat hell out of you. And he threw his cow whip over his head around his neck and caught it like that and took the handle he was whipping him with it till he got so weak you know he had to go down.
Well,
that
was done.
Yeah.
You mean after old man Bruce was shot?
He
still hooked him.
Hooked him with that whip, sort of whip part over his head, you know, and caught it up like that, and took the handle. The whip handle just about that long, you know.
And started pounding up.
I don't know with that whip handle. And until he got so weak, you know, he had to go down.
Loss of blood.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a dying.
Yeah, but this brother, he was still living yet, because he was in hospital last year. But he ain't died.
Well, let me tell you, one of them's at trials. He lives in town and he's a banker. And I borrowed money from him to buy this place.
One named Horace.
Yes.
He's brother to him.
He runs this Townsend Baptist Church out there at. Methodist Church, I guess, at Windsor.
That's the one used to be a school to me. I mean.
Now, he's not the one that you're talking about.
Brotherstown.
I mean, he not, Bruce is the one that, yeah.
Yes, he is the one. He's the oldest one.
Yeah.
He's the oldest right in the barn.
Yeah.
This young fellow here, he was one of the, I think he was a twin, because Horace and one name was, his midterm was a twin. He died now.
Yeah.
Yes. But this young fellow there used to be his superintendent of school.
Well, Horace never was wild like that.
I tell you the truth, I don't know. They all might not have been just alike, but I think the whole business, if you get them stirred up, they're kind of wild. But I don't think, you know, he ever done much as this.
Not as much as Bruce.
No. Well, listen, at Rochelle now, the bait. His name Blake. He didn't hear if he done anything. He didn't hear it like this. Well, old man Bruce, you know, he used to be a cat, and he looked like he wanted people to know it too.
Yeah.
He didn't keep it here.
Yeah.
Well, they say his uncle Ansel, he was a feast. Say he was the same way. Anybody hear him talk? He talked just a soft, a feast of man.
Yeah.
And he when Andrew Feaster, he had a brother living over there, the same Henry Feaster in Maine. I reckon he's living there. He ain't dead, is he? Do you know it? Did you ever know him? You know, from Buster Mountain right across Creek City in that somewhere about that log cabin right over there. I don't know where he stayed in that log cabin or stayed in a trailer over there, right across the street from the mountain, Maine over here.
No, that's...
You don't even know him.
Not, that's not been... I haven't been here that long.
Yeah, but he's been there since you've been here.
Oh, has he?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's when I just came to work there. He was there the last time I was at the mountain. He was there.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. I don't know if he died. I ain't heard no talk of him dying, but that's where he stayed. Right across the street. I don't know where he stayed in that log cabin or stayed in a trailer, that body, but he's right across the street from the mountain there and making the...
And he's a Feaster.
Yes, sir. His name is Henry Feaster. He's a man, John Feaster's son. His name is Henry Feaster, this fellow I'm talking about. He's old. He older than I am, because I heard him tell his age. He's older than I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me go out here just a minute. I'll be right back. Sir.
Well, I guess I'm got to go now.
Cause wait just a minute.
I never knew anybody could do that.
What?
Get shot and still carry on there with
it. It's some people. I heard talk of them doing it. I never did see it done, but I heard talk of lots of people. Yeah.
One of them big old cattle whips, that'll really keep the cows moving, won't it?
Yes.
I mean, it'll really...
Oh, he used to carry one. Looked like to me it'd be long from that door there to that window there. And they could use them, too. I mean, you could reach way out and hit a cow way over on it. You see them hit a cow with that old big whip like that. Anybody could use them like they could use it. And you just see the hair flower there like he's cut it off with fast scissors.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really strong.
Yeah, they could use them all right now.
I reckon you had to have a really good arm.
Yeah, well,
how to use one.
Well, just know how to use it. A certain way you throw that whip. Yes. I never could use one like lots of people could use them. But I've seen a old colored fella used to be back out there. And I just see him, you hit a cow with one of them, and just like you, it had a pair of shears on it.
Yes.
With a little big cow whip. He wouldn't draw the blood out of one. You know, they could strap that, hit one of them cows out there and bleed just like you had cut him with a knife.
Woo.
Them things is poison.
Yeah, I know it is. Anybody know how to handle them, this? Yes, sir. But I never could handle one that way. You know, I used to have one all the time, but I never could handle it. It's a certain way you can throw them, you know. I mean, you can give some a fit with it.
Yeah.
And that's what he's going to whip his brother with. Well, you know, that'd been pretty rough, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It sure would.
Yeah, sure, yeah. It'd have been awful rough, you know, because he'd have...
He'd just take the hide off.
He'd have had him all cut up like he'd been using a pocket knife all over him.
Oh, man.
I don't blame his brother for using his gun then.
Well, let me tell you, Coleman, I grew up with them whips.
Yes.
And I used to use a whip.
Yeah.
And we'd always have one in the wagon.
Yes, sir.
In the buggy, you see, we'd have a little buggy whip.
That's right.
But
that's
in the wagon, we'd have that...
other whip.
And you know, you never use it hard. You
no.
You just sort of give it a little crack.
That's right.
To make them go.
Yeah.
You didn't actually need one of
no.
those big whips.
No.
They're just sort of left over from the old days.
That's right. Yeah.
But I never saw anybody that could do what you was talking about.
What's that?
Just pop it around his neck and pull him over there.
Yeah, well, he done that say that, of course, I wasn't there to see it, but it was ready to tell me. Just loop it and throw it over, it's close, put it close together and throw it over his head around him. And he'd draw that thing up, and when he'd catch that whip, then he'd take that staff of that whip and whack it on his head.
Well,
and tell me he done that till he went down and he got so weak, you know, he couldn't do it.
Well, I just merely heard about it. I never seen it done.
Yeah. Well,
but they're so accurate, you know, they can get a fly off the screen over there.
Oh, man, they can, anybody can use them. What can you use them? They can use them things. I tell you, it's pitiful. You know, anybody can take one of them things and whip a cow. So I believe they could almost whip a cow to death with one of them.
Yeah. It don't take much.
No, sir.
And a cow ain't got no defense.
No.
Even a wild cow.
That's right.
If you got him up.
No.
You'd have to have him up. You couldn't do it out in the open.
Yeah. Well, I seen a fellow, a man Turner used to have some cows, and he had some kind of wild cows. And I seen them boys get behind him on the horse, you know, and they'd follow him just about 4 from here down there next to your driveway, go out and where Daisy see it, and it, every jump that cow's making, they're hitting it with that whip, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right? On a horse?
On a horse. Yeah. You have a good saddle horse.
Man, that's a lie.
Anybody, some things is trouble. Anybody can use them, you know. I never could use one like a lot of people. I always did have one, but I never could handle them like a lot of people could handle them.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I got to get going.
The law didn't interfere in people's business then.
No.
If they wanted to use that whip.
Yeah.
On one of the kinfolks, the law never interfered with them.
No. Long and back in them times, it didn't bother a person so much about fighting, you know, if they didn't kill one another. No, huh? I don't know. I reckon they'll do more to you. Well, I believe it now. They'll do more to you if you happen to steal a bottle of soda water and would ever kill a man. Now, you know, look like me. The law just went that way. And, look like they were, you know, the man who do these bad crimes look like everything is done and they fail.
Yeah.
Now, you can take anywhere around the town. Something's done, you know, you look for something to turn up bad afterwards, and it don't be so much. I guess a money would keep that down there.
I guess so.
That's how I figure it must be. Pay money, you know.
Oh, there's so much money in the world now, Coleman.
Yes.
It's shameful.
Yes, it is.
But the law, if the law was there, they wouldn't interfere with a man.
No.
And of course, the law wasn't there.
No, the law was there. I don't think the law would have taken much interested if he had been there. No.
They'd sort of stayed out on the edge and not interfered.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know, but I just I'd be almost certain the law wouldn't get mixed up in that.
No, I guess not.
So a man could go ahead and get the word out that he was pretty mean.
Yes.
Well, your neighbor over there done that.
Yes.
Old Mitchell Boyd.
Oh yes, he done that. That's true. Yeah. And I believe he kind of thought everybody. I reckon he did. I believe he did. People were scared of him. Now he had a few people over there, working over there, and he draw the gun on them and had them picking beans or something or other, and I was going to line them up, you know, and they in a row, and every once in a while he motioned his gun like he was going to shoot down the row of them, you know, and had them kind of scared of him, I think.
Well, that they must have figured that paid off to
yeah, well, I think it was a pity.
To get it off, to get the word out.
Yes, yes, I guess so.
Coleman, let me tell you, we got to get ready, and I'd better go ahead and start digging a hole, hadn't I?
Well,
I don't know where to dig it.
Anyway, because when I came out, it's not very much so. I'll tell you what you can do. You can dig it and cover it. You've got some tin there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Cover it up and keep it from raining. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, you got any pine saplings around your place where you can get some straw? Or you going to put straw in the bottom or hay?
I haven't got any pines.
Yeah.
All I got is that old, you know, that old stuff you took over yonder, that old crabgrass.
Yeah.
It wasn't worth fooling with.
No. Well, it's dry, ain't it?
Yeah.
Well, it'll do.
We can use that. I got enough for you and me both.
Well, I can get some straw across the bridge. You know, ain't no trouble for me to get, if I can go across over there, ain't no trouble for me. You can get straw, you can get all you want over there. On them. They don't mind you getting it.
Is that better?
That's so.
Uh-huh.
I believe it would be better.
It's the pine needles?
Yeah. see across the bridge over there?
Yeah.
Go in the end of them gates over there to the left of the road. You know, right, you know, them trees are pretty thick out there, and just rake it up and get you. It don't take a whole lot of it, you know. I say if you have a place big as a stable, all you want just enough straw on the bottom, but just cover the bottom good, you know. You ain't got to have much at the bottom. Then you pull the potatoes in there, and you cover it over with that straw, and then put your tin over. If be any leak holes around the edge, it's like you can take a piece of anything, but make a kind of a what I'm trying to say a edge a piece of wood thick enough, two by four or something else, make it on the side on the end too the same way, you know. Well, you put that straw till it comes out the top of that, be level, and you lay your tin cross on top of it.
Yeah. And you want it slanted a little bit.
No, you ain't got to slant it. If your tin don't leak.
Yeah.
If your tin don't leak, if any water come up, it got to come up at each end there.
Yeah.
Well, you could leave it a little slant if you want to leave it that way. But I don't ever leave mine slant. But
just put it right down square.
Yes, square. That's right. If it happened to be level, I just let it be level.
Just let it be level. Yes.
And if it ain't rain, leave any water on it, it looks like the wind will soon blow that off there. But you want to, the edges, you want to take dirt and bank up there to keep the cold air from going in and getting in on the potatoes, you know. That's all.
Well, Coleman, I'm glad you came over.
Yes, sir.
And we'll watch the weather.
Okay.
And right. If it looks like it's going to get turned cold, we'll have to work right fast, won't it?
Yeah, but just a frost wind, you know, ain't going to hurt. A freeze now.
Just a light frost won't hurt?
No, but after a frost, though, we won't go to digging them. After have a frost. If it be frost enough to hurt to kill the vine, then we won't go.
You want to kill in frost first?
No, you ain't got to have it.
You don't want it.
No.
You don't have to have it.
No. But I just want the potato stand long enough for to get the growth, all the growth of the potato, you know. What I mean, you take, they're supposed to make it 9 days. See, we set them potatoes out on the last day of July.
Yeah.
Well, that's August, September, October. Well, it'll be 90 days the last of this month, won't it?
Yeah.
Well, I think you ought to have two more weeks, over 90 days.
Yeah, we can manage.
Yes. I believe you ought to have two more weeks. Well, you know, not say just for cut the potato off on the growth, just for a few days, getting a few days. I'd let it rather stand two more weeks in November.
Yeah.
If the weather will look favorable. If
yeah.
it don't look favorable, we try to get them out.
Yeah.
But if the weather looks favorable, and that'll be that. I'll tell you about the potato, Mr. Miles. That's time it do its growing. You know, when the sap goes back down the ground, that's time they do the moist growing. They'll grow more in a week then and it would in a month before.
Oh, they will.
Yes. When the sap go back down the ground, you know, the sap going back now.
Yeah.
Well, that's now the time to do the growing in the ground.
Yeah.
Yes. And it'll grow more in a week and it would in a month before.
Well, I'll be done.
Hmm.
Yes. We're going to take a chance.
Yes. Sir.
Them vines, you just plow them up, lay the vines there and
yeah.
just plow them?
Yes, but I tell you, them vines is pretty heavy. I might come over here and try to cut the vines loose down next to the ground. Each heel loose.
Yeah.
Because then it'd be more easy for the plow to roll them back to the middle.
Yeah.
Because some places them vines pretty heavy up there.
Well, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I got that rotary mower. That'll send them out.
Yeah. Well, how does that work? Will he'll tear the vines up loose, eh?
Yeah.
Well,
it'll make sawdust out of them.
Will?
Yeah. But it won't get them down.
It won't get down low enough to hurt the potato.
No.
Well, that'd be
you
all right.
You get it lower than you put it.
No, well, that'd be all right. Just so you get, you know, don't tear the potato, you know.
Well, I wouldn't do it unless you was over here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, I that'd be all right then, cause but we don't want to do that till just before we get ready to dig them, you know.
Well, you can do that, and take them right down even with the ground.
Yeah, the vine.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be all right. You put your saddle a bed on it, and just go with it, and just take the top of that, all that vine off. That'd be all
right.
Right. That'd be all right.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do.
What?
Whenever we get ready, we just go down there and try it out.
Okay. All right. Then we'll see then. All
see
right.
What it does.
All right. All right. Well, I guess
now that'll be something you've never done before.
Yeah, that's good. You'll be learning me something. You'll be giving me a lesson. what we used to do, you know, where the vines are heavy, that way, when we cut them loose, you know, where the stem go in the ground there, cut it right off with a hole.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Take the plow and go along on the side and out of there.
I think that would be just as simple.
Yeah.
Just cut them with a hole.
Just cut them with a hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in a couple of days it'll dry up.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Coleman. Now, what is his name?
Who that?
Bruce's boy that lives over there. You know who I mean.
Yeah. Well, Rochelle?
Yes.
His boy?
Yeah.
Well, Theodore.
Phil.
Phil, yes.
Theodore.
Yes.
Well, now, Theodore had a brother, didn't he?
Didn't he die not long ago?
He shot himself.
He shot himself. His name Andrew. Well, his name Andrew, wasn't it? I think he was. I didn't know his brother like I know him.
Yeah.
I know him better. He had two boys. One, I think his name was Andrew. Cause they buried him over here outside making noise.
Yeah.
I think that is him because he was there.
Well, I thought maybe you'd know what happened.
No, sir. I never.
He shot himself.
He did.
Yeah.
Shot himself.
Well, that's the word I got.
Yeah, well, I guess I never did get what
it's called. I didn't know him. I didn't go to the funeral, and the people who told me didn't know him too well. So, you see, I don't go up in that country.
No, no.
But I thought maybe you'd have heard.
No, I hadn't heard. I've seen it in the paper about his death. That's all I knew.
That's all it said.
They didn't. I don't think it stated in the paper what it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it hadn't been long, just a month or two ago.
I know it. And he intended to do it, eh? I guess.
That's the word I got.
Well, I
but now I'm not sure of it. So
no.
if you get talking about it, you see, you can just find out.
I'll find out. If I see him, I know Phil.
Yeah.
I know him well.
Well, he's a pretty nice fella, isn't he?
Yes, sir. He look like a different fella from his daddy altogether. But, you know, he got they all got the same blood in them, though. I tell you what, reason I say that.
He run off from home.
Who said?
Yes.
Reason I said it, somebody had bothered something of mine once, and we was helping this man Tunnel, but he was there. And he said to me, "What if you don't know what to do with a fellow like that?" I told him, "No, I didn't know what he was going to tell me to do. Get in the bushes with your shotgun." That's what he said. That's advice he gave me. Get in the bushes with your shotgun.
Now that wasn't CO.
Yes.
That's CO?
Yes.
Well.
So that's what I say. All of them, he got the same kind of blood there, of course. But he seemed to be a nice boy, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a Sunday school teacher.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I've seen a man once to say the Sunday school teaching, preaching everything, and he's what kind of devil? He's dead now.
Where was that?
That was back up in that. I won't call his name.
Well, I wouldn't know him.
You might have heard of him, you know. You know, sometimes you talk about whether it be somebody's friend, you know. You know, it don't care who, what they do and who in the world it is. It'll be somebody's friend.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I might be, if I call a name, it might be your friend. I don't know. And so, rather than not get tied up in it, I won't.
Well.
I won't say nothing. But now you just know to somebody, but you don't know who it is.
Well, Theo's a friend of mine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't him.
And, of course, I never. See, he goes one way, I go another. I don't see him much anymore.
No.
But I like Theo.
Well, he's all right. I do too. And I tell you, he ain't never showed me no sign of nothing but a good man. Yes.
Well, that's all I've ever seen.
But you know, you can't ever tell about a person. You know, I tell you the truth, Mr. Miles. You know, you can see anybody. And You lost out. You can think you know them, but you don't know them. You'll find out more about them the longer you live.
You know, Coleman, one way you find them out is when you have some business dealing.
That's
with.
Right, sir. Yes.
And it's an amazing thing.
Yes, sir.
Just you got to be very particular about who you have business dealing with.
Yes, the truth.
It's so easy to have a misunderstanding.
Misunderstanding.
Did you ever notice that?
Yes, sir.
Over very small matters.
Yes. Well, sometimes a little small thing, you know, it turns out, it was handled the way, it turned out to be a bad thing, you know.
Yeah.
It can be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yes. So a lot of people get killed, you know, when you get through with it and look at the thing, you might say it's done about nothing. I call it nothing. But that's where it starts, you know. But
I never say this preacher you're talking about. I don't want to know his name.
No.
But now he was pretty well known.
Well, I guess so.
And he still cut up.
Well, he has a whole lot of ways. You know. I think anybody would act like he acts. You know, be like he was. It wouldn't be much of a preacher. And I wouldn't appreciate them preaching to me. Because I wouldn't want his doctrine.
Well, he might preach the gospel straight.
preach it one way and live another way.
Live another way.
Oh well, maybe so. Maybe that's the way he's
well,
tried.
Well, you heard that.
Well, I heard a man say once. Says a preacher said in his talk. Said don't do as I said. Do as I said do. Well, that's my the way he is. Not do as he do as he said do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he might be able to tell you better than a fella who lived right.
But you know, if I know he wasn't right, I wouldn't care much about hearing him. I wouldn't accept much of his talk. Wouldn't do me any good.
Well, you oughtn't to know so much. You see, just listen to what he said.
Well, I guess that'd be the thing to do, but you know, sometimes you take things the wrong way.
Well,
I'll
tell you what now.
Yeah.
Some of these fellas that live right, Coleman, are mighty dull fellas.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to listen to them.
Yeah.
They ain't got much to say.
Ain't got much to tell you.
Ain't got much to tell you.
That's right. Well, it might be that way. Well, I don't know. Of course, it's a fellow says, maybe six one way and half a dozen the other.
Yeah.
So. Well, I guess I'll be going, but I told old lady I wasn't going to stay off very long.
Well,
I've been off now half a day.
Yeah.
Well, you had to look at the potatoes.
Yes, ma'am. Time went over, and the end of the visit with Coleman with Debbie this Saturday, the 20th of October, 73. Mostly on Old Man Sam Turner, Channel 2, Channel 1 over, around 1500, 1600, and the end of the visit with Coleman was Debbie, this Saturday, 20th of October, 73. Channel 1 over, and the end of the visit with Coleman with Debbie, this Saturday, 20th of October, 73, mostly about Old Man Sam Turner.
I got the mail. Didn't get anything. Florida grower. How much?
I'm gonna ask.
I don't.
The ground's cracking. All up and down the road.
And he's excited?
And he's so excited he can hardly stand it. I went down there and he was halfway down, you know. And I waved at him. And he put up his head, "Hi," he said. And I got down there and he was just talking. "We're making some sweet potatoes," he said.
Mm-hmm.
He said he believed that clay was the best thing. Because that way they didn't get too wet.
Yeah.
He said, "All this dry weather we've been having," he said, "I bet it's just right for them in there." And they're really big. They're cracks this long in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And under every one there's a sweet potato.
Yes.
And that's something.
It don't take much fertility to grow potatoes. It just takes that clay, it looks like. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah. And the vines are thick, and I asked him if there were too many weeds for him. I thought he'd say there were, because there are a few weeds down there. I went down and pulled them one day, but there's still pretty many down there.
Right.
And I thought he might say something about there being too many weeds. Let me go.
I knew you were. You didn't have to tell me that. Well, it was the cable. And I called the supervisor finally and told her that we had sickness in the family and all. And I just simply couldn't afford to go through another weekend without the telephone. And she put a special man on it. Yeah, it hadn't been on over an hour or two. That's right. Well, it must have taken all of us. I told them they'd do well just to swap me off to the Bell system. I was the last man on their line anyhow. Except the Bell system don't want me. I'm too far away from their trunk line. So you're right in the middle of it. Well, that's fine. Well, that's all right. I got the cows out of the house, got lonesome. They've been in the back pasture, and this morning I said, "Well, that burn. I haven't seen the cows in a couple of days." So I just went, "Huh?" Well, I haven't looked at them too close, but nobody's misbehaving that I noticed. I ordered some. Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 They take a right smart salt sometimes in the parts of the year they do. Sometimes they don't eat much, sometimes they... All the time. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. And it's costly. Yeah. Well, we'll be here tomorrow if you get off. Okay. 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 Well, that's fine. I'm glad you're into it. And this hurricane gonna miss you, looks like. Yes. I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. And smells good. Smell like hay. Well, that's what you want. All right. Well, thanks for calling. Shirley, she's been trying to get over here to see her cows. Well, now you talk about the taping.
With Coleman, just now.
Mm.
Well, you can. It's such an amazing world, you know. People. I mean, I don't even remember half the things we talked about.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much.
But they'll come to you.
Yeah, as I think about them, you know. But it's such. When he'd get going, and his voice would get going so loud, you know. And I was thinking, you know, just now, Dick Green and that bearded fella came out, you know. And Coleman sat there and talked to them for 10 minutes. But they couldn't do the same thing to him.
No.
They couldn't go to his house and talk.
No.
The way he did that. Yeah.
They just listened, didn't they?
Well, they listened. That's something.
They didn't say anything. They're afraid Dick's afraid he'd say the wrong thing, you see. But he took it all in. It's a shame they don't have time to sort of get into it.
Mm-hmm.
But they love it. That's the trouble, that world they live in up there, you see, is pushed off.
Yeah. You know, I didn't know how when you switch topics when you're taping. You know, like we were talking about something, and then you just switch to the house. Does Sam Turner have tin on his house?
Yeah.
I'm never very good at doing that. If I can get him going on something, I don't dare try to rock the boat and change the subject.
Well, that's what you get used to, but it's such a gradual thing, you see. And he could pick it up or not, and it wouldn't stop it, would it?
Mm-mm.
You see, you went from the hole in the ground for the potatoes with a tin roof, but his daddy used
pine bark.
And we got into shingles, and tin was an improvement, was a new wrinkle, such as Miss Mary would want, and then you shift to Sam Turner. He have tin on his roof. Isn't that something? Now you see, it's so easy, isn't it? Well, now you see, with me it's deliberate, but with them they do it the same way. It's not.
Right. They just keep progressing like that, just naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they have anybody to listen to, they don't have much to listen to. Anybody much to listen to now, and more than I do.
A little bit of it, though. I mean, I think. Well, I don't know. I was standing around. Fred and Freddie and Coleman were talking at the store one day when I was there. That business about the bulls when Freddie was talking about, but that sort of. It never went anywhere because somebody came and needed something at the store.
Yeah. And you didn't get that machine, because then you could, both of them are experts, you see. Freddie talks like that. He can talk.
Yeah, and he talks, you know, he talks just like, I don't know what. I expect him to talk differently than he does, and he talks just like Coleman almost. He's got a wonderful voice. He really does. And it's better than Fred's.
Yeah. That old storekeeper, he goes in such short bursts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he realizes it, you see. And once Freddy gets started out there on the porch, he can call. Well, now, you see, here you are. You've been going a week or two, and you drive up Coleman just ahead of you.
I saw it when I turned off the road down there.
Yeah.
I almost stopped at Miss Daisy's, but she wasn't on the porch, so I didn't stop.
Yeah.
And as soon as I turned, I saw Coleman's truck. I thought, well, it's a good thing I didn't stop.
Yeah.
I thought he'd be coming, because it's almost the 1st of November. I'd been expecting him to come show up for a while.
Yeah, it's getting on that time. Now, you, I don't remember what you said over the phone. What are your plans now?
Well, I won't buy a car.
Your old Chevy won't do you?
Now what?
Your old Chevy ain't trustworthy enough.
Well, won't get around quite enough, and you need it, too.
What do I need with it?
You need it here. You need to have it here. You know, if for some reason you needed something out there in the pasture, you need the Chevy to go.
I won't never use it.
Well,
I seldom get off the place.
I know, but
unless I hitch a ride.
Well, I'll see if I can locate something that's not going to break the bank.
It's hard to do.
I know it is. Especially since I don't know anything about it.
Cookie used to be helpful, you see, and he's not helpful anymore. I mean, you know, he's not in that business anymore.
He's not trustworthy. I wouldn't want to buy a car from Cookie.
I wouldn't exactly be my choice either.
Well, I don't know. This cousin of ours came this week from Winter Park. And she said she lives down in Rollins College. And they're having a writer's conference down there in a couple weeks. So she said nothing would do but that I come. Well, I don't know whether I will or not. I haven't decided yet. I think it might be jumping in with the sharks.
Progress up here.
Really?
All the time. All you got to do is go and cut Patrick's class. They got two classes, one regular and one advanced. And you get the same thing over and over again. It's just as uniform as Sears catalog.
Oh, I don't know. It's the same old thing, you know. You just should never. I don't know why I'm so dumb that way. It's just something you have to learn, I guess.
Well, you want to pick up some of that stuff. I mean, they're the ones who got the data. What they study is the technique, really. They don't produce very many writers. The critics, you see, they don't have anything to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
What they know about the war is the Inland Navy.
Well, what kind of really threw me was this woman, this cousin of ours. I don't really know her. She's a distant cousin of my father. I don't really know her, but she said, "Well, you know, I'm the patron of the arts down there, and you can stay with me, and they'll all come to my house." And I thought, somehow, I just thought of sharks.
Maybe. They're all nice, Debbie. You know, they talk what's the word? I never even think of it. Like, you know what I mean, don't you?
Yeah. I don't know who. But.
Well, they all talk the same. They all talk that. You know, that, oh, hell, I can't get the name. Word. They stay way off from the subject with those critical terms.
Abstract.
All abstract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody really wants to listen to anything but that.
Oh, no. No. That's all they know. That's all they know. They don't know about any subject. And they never put flesh on the bone.
Yeah. Certainly don't. Not anybody anywhere with anything.
No.
Does it?
No. And furthermore.
And they won't listen to you if you do it.
And furthermore, it makes them nervous if somebody else does. It makes Ward nervous. You see, everything I say pricks him. And I'm one of his, his followers.
Uh-huh.
And he treats me that way. He gives me anything he got. It makes him nervous.
Yeah. I never realized quite as distinctly or clearly how easy it is to get along in the world without saying anything.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing in the world. You don't actually have to say anything, and you can come across as just being brilliant.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, I suspected it, but you know, I never for a year now I haven't really had very sustained exposure to that world up there.
Yeah.